Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, sponsored each and every morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Delicious, hot, good. But today, I have to fully admit, I'm not drinking my Harvest Ridge. Just my tummy couldn't take it today. So I've got another delightful Refreshment Services Pepsi product, the Mug Zero Root Beer. This is usually my afternoon treat because it has no caffeine. But today, I had to switch to it early because I just couldn't do my coffee this morning. That happens every once in a while. My tummy gets a little bit topsy-turvy. Brandon Greening
is
a doctor.
Carbonated beverages are what really calm it down.
Well, you know. You're saying this may not be my best choice? Okay.
Well, if it works for you, it works for you.
If it works, it works. Dr. Brandon Greening is here, one of my favorite people in the whole world, because not only does he keep me healthy, although I only go see him about once a year, but he is somehow keeping my husband alive, despite my husband's best efforts to throw himself downstairs, throw himself into the garage, and crawl around on the floor.
He's got to make your life interesting.
Yeah, the man is a walking, you know, he's like that, what's it called, mayhem in that one insurance commercial.
Yes.
That could be my husband, causing mayhem everywhere.
Well, find a new career for him.
So let's talk a little bit about your practice. Where are you located? Are you accepting new patients?
1210 North 24th Street, right across from Reservoir Park, the fire station subway, right in that area. I'm always accepting new patients. It is a bit of a wait to get in right now, just with the holidays and everything. I don't think I have an appointment until the 28th available right now.
Well, so, we're proud of you. You got a busy practice. Family going anywhere for Easter?
No, we're not going anywhere for Easter.
Okay, what time should I be over for?
Ask Tristan.
Hey, are you dying? You're a rich doctor, so I assume that eggs are still being dyed in your family, but some people are moving to marshmallows. Do you think it's a wise idea to dye marshmallows? I mean, there's really no harm in it, right?
I guess not. I don't
know. Is a marshmallow good for us, doctor? It's not good for us, is it?
Depends on if you're watching Ghostbusters.
Okay.
In which case, it's very dangerous.
If the marshmallow is bigger than the Empire State Building,
you've got problems.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what is happening in the world of neuroscience and our health. Because as a doctor of chiropractic, many people know that you can manipulate the spine and the bones and the muscles to improve people's health. But you also have a specialty in studying the brain. So have you brought us anything that will make us brainiacs today?
I brought a couple of things. They can, I guess we can make them relate to the brain. We can make everything relate to the brain because it controls every part of our being.
Kind of like me, the controller of all things.
So,
right.
Queen of the universe, like the sign says over here. Have you ever had any mice in your house?
Yes, not recently, thank God.
Yeah. Well, there's a new study that shows that if you have mice and they're a little too rambunctious and crazy for you, that if you feed them a high salt diet, they will get depressed. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a depressed mouse does that's different from a regular mouse, but maybe it'll make them so depressed that they just want to leave.
So does this have implications for humans? I guess that's why we're studying this. So a high-salt diet can lead to depression?
Apparently it can, certainly in the mice. What happens is it increases the production of a immune cell, the cytokine IL-17A. You're one of your favorites.
One of my favorites. Yeah. Now, 17A is one of my favorites. Now, 17B, I'm not so hot on that one, but...
Yeah.
So, you know, I wonder, you know, more and more children, more and more preteens are depressed. Now, a lot of them say it's because they're too much on social media. But we also have a very high processed food, high salt diet.
Absolutely.
So this could absolutely be something that if you're suffering from depression or if you feel your children are not in the best or normal, whatever normal is, mood, cut back on the salt. And that's hard to do.
That is hard to do.
Because you go to the grocery store and everything good has salt in it. The other day I saw a great WTAD listener and they were looking for cashews.
Yes.
And they got the bagel with everything flavored cashews. I said, there's probably a lot of salt with that. He said, I don't have my glasses, so I can't read it. I said, I'll read it to you. He goes, I better not have that. So then he reached for the plain cashews. Plain cashews. Zero sodium.
Yes.
Tastes like, meh, cardboard.
Yeah.
Salt really, that's why it used to be used as money. Salt really makes things taste good. But
so
now
much better, yes.
We have gotten so used to salt that we have to have super amounts of it.
Well, not only that, we use it as a preservative.
Right.
And so, you know, if you are eating from the edges of the grocery store, right, you're making all your stuff fresh, or you're going out to your farmer and you're getting this stuff fresh, right, you can use salt because you're not getting it like somebody would that is eating all of the processed foods. We try and make these things so shelf stable, and one way to do that is by adding the salt to it.
Right, which is why you buy a can of vegetables. Like the other day, I really want Choupeg corn. So I treated myself to a can of Choupeg corn. Now, if I had just gone out and gotten a fresh grown ear of Choupeg corn, I could have salted it myself and enjoyed it.
Yes.
But it's got so much salt in it already in the can
that you didn't even need to.
Yeah. But it's really scary. We don't read the labels much.
Yeah. Well, and even your fresh meat, like pork, is often packed in a salt brine. If you get a big pork loin, there's extra sodium added to that to preserve it.
To keep it fresher longer.
So, we've used salt to preserve meat for years and years and years and thousands of years. But when that's the majority of what you're eating is preserved stuff, then you can have an issue with salt.
Canned soups especially bad. You know, one thing that's very interesting, when you really try to have a good diet and you're really trying to cut back on your intake of salt, it is a frustration level. I looked and looked and looked in the grocery store yesterday for low-sodium turkey that was processed like by Oscar Mayer, just use a brand name, you know. None available.
Yeah.
They had lower fat, but they didn't have anything
turkey,
that was low sodium. And you know, it's just, like you said, it's just packed with sodium. I turn it over in red.
Right.
It's packed with sodium in order to keep it fresh. So it is a very frustration. Years ago, Dr. Diana Franklin diagnosed me with a corn allergy. Do you know how hard it is to find something to eat that doesn't have corn in it?
I'd rather have a dairy allergy than a corn allergy.
Gosh, it was tough. But I got over it, thank goodness. But I had to get rid of corn in my diet for like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That was really hard. There is corn, there is salt, there's sugar, there's wheat.
So many things.
There's so many things are put in our food that, you know, you're eating corn when you don't think you're eating corn. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't know what they make the sweetener there out of, but, a lot of...
Sodium benzoate, aspartame.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So, most of the...
Malic acid.
Delicious. Who doesn't want a little malic acid?
Acesulfame potassium. Calcium disodium EDTA to protect flavor. And Kia extract.
Ah.
Q-U-I-L-L.
I drive a Kia.
Q-U-I-L-L-A-I-A extract. Well, I don't care if it kills me. I love zero sugar.
Our decisions here. We have to make, and obviously your body can handle what you're putting into it
at
this point.
I don't know that is true, doctor.
Well, the body is a remarkable thing. It can live through a lot of abuse.
But there's very little sodium in this. There's no caffeine. There's no sodium. There's no fat. There's no sugar. It's basically a can of water and caramel color.
Delicious.
And then the Q-U-I-L-L-A-I-A extract.
Yeah.
Which is the scientific term for root beer. So be careful with salt because it can cause depression. It has effects on our body.
Absolutely.
If it hurts the mice, it will probably hurt us.
It can. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And everybody's different. You know, there are some people that could lick on a salt block all day and not develop high blood pressure because of it. Their body processes salt well. The rest of us, you know, that's going to affect our blood pressure. So,
but when you start getting puffy, you know you're retaining water. That's a sure sign that you've got too much sodium, right? Too much salt when you get puffy.
There are a lot of other things that can go into that. I mean, maybe your kidneys decided to stop working.
Well, your kidneys can decide to stop working because you have too much salt. Yeah.
It's true.
It is true. I'm familiar.
All these things work together.
I'm familiar with this horrible, horrible fact.
You know, you could also be puffy because your lymph isn't working or your veins aren't carrying fluid back the way they should. You know, lots of factors.
That's why doctors are invented to go and tell us exactly what's wrong with us, not us guess what's wrong with us.
Well, a lot of doctors were doing our best guess anyway, but you know, we've looked at lots of things and seen lots of things, and so when we see these things, it's most likely this. Let's test it and see. So,
come back next week. If you live to next week, then my theory was probably correct.
And I did great. Yeah, look at me.
You did great.
I'm amazing. If you didn't, well, you won't be mad because you'll be dead anyway. So. Your family will be very upset with me.
You have a very low threshold for success, don't you, Dr. Breed? What else did you bring us today, my good man?
I brought one more article that is very interesting. Now, they did this study on people who had the old shingles vaccine. We have a new, more effective shingles vaccine.
Is that the one I'm getting? Since when is it new?
The old one is not available in America anymore. Well, I suppose you could get it if you wanted to pay $400. That's what it said somewhere in this article. But the old one is not readily available. And that's the one they did the study on. But what they found was that the shingles vaccine, the people that had this, I think it was a group of people in Wales, they had a 20% decreased risk for dementia. The theory behind it, they don't have obviously these are a bunch of people that they just did a health study on, back over there with their socialized medicine. They have to keep lots of records and all that, and they can do that. But these viral infections that affect the nervous system, like shingles does, mm-hmm. they are associated with an increased risk of dementia. So, getting shingles can increase your risk of shingles. Oh, no, duh. It can increase your risk of dementia.
Okay.
So, what they found is that the people that had the shot had a 20% less decreased chance of developing dementia in their lifetime.
Now, this is where we get a lot of controversy, and we don't have a lot of time, so I just want you to give your brief assessment of this. There are a lot of people now that are saying that vaccinations are bad, vaccinations are harmful to your health. You don't need a measles vaccine. There's herd immunity. You don't need a polio vaccine. You know, that it doesn't exist anymore. Shingles vaccine, don't get things like that. As a chiropractor, as a holistic health person, but also a friend to the medical community, what is your stance on vaccinations?
My stance on vaccinations is a bit of a middle-of-the-road stance. There are certain vaccinations that I like the idea of a vaccination, okay? The idea of when I'm healthy, giving me something to attune my body, to familiarize my body with something that can kill me so that it doesn't kill me, I think that's a great idea. Where we end up running into trouble, I think, sometimes is we do a lot really fast. People do them when they aren't feeling well already sometimes. And that can cause issues.
Too many vaccinations for babies. In other words, it's not that they're getting too many, they're just getting too many at once.
Yeah, that's
but like chicken pox can't kill you. Kids don't have chicken pox anymore because they all get chicken pox vaccine.
Yes.
So would you, well, okay.
Gus got shingles. Gus is here with me. He got chicken pox from my wife when she had shingles because she was breastfeeding at the time. So he has natural immunity, but he did just fine with it. He doesn't even remember. He doesn't even know.
Boy, I remember it was horrible. You're so lucky. It's the meanest thing your mother ever did to you, guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, kids don't get that anymore. Well, you know.
Right.
Okay. But, like, I get a shingles shot because I'm afraid. I don't want to get shingles. My brother had them, and they are horrifying.
Yeah.
So am I doing myself – I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to get my flu shot. I'm going to get my COVID shot. I'm going to get all the shots. I'm a shot person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll, but am I risking my life by taking a shot? Because,
well, I mean, we risk our lives every day by getting in our car, Mary. So,
I risk my life by drinking.
Yes, we're drinking. All risking our lives with certain things.
Sodium benzoate, aspartame, malic. Malic acid just sounds bad. Yeah, mal means bad. So this is like
true.
The killer evil acid of all time, and I'm sucking it down like there's no tomorrow. Okay, so use immunizations wisely, and young parents, be careful. Don't like rush out. Your doctor says you need this, and this, and you do.
And you do. And if your kid is not healthy that day, wait.
Wait,
right?
and maybe say, could I get half? You know, could I get some of it now and some of it in 3 weeks? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for stopping by. Thank you for bringing Gus. What book was Gus reading?
Gus, what book were you listening to? He listens to so many, it's hard to remember.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. Apparently, what's it called? Comprehension.
Yeah. What did you just listen to?
The Wizard of Oz.
Gus could probably tell anybody everything about The Wizard of Oz. I think one year he listened to...
lots of books in The Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah. I think he listened to 30 days worth of The Wizard of Oz in 1 year. Like, he just listened to it that many times.
Has Gus seen Wicked?
He has.
Okay. Okay. So. Well, we've got to go because the chief of police is here.
Well,
and he's not here to arrest Gus.
That's good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But he has good news for us. So we'll get on with this. Corteva brings you this report from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Lots happened last night at the City Council. And, you know, as is always the case, some important matters just don't get reported because the budget of, you know, $51 million is going to overshadow a police expenditure of much less than that.
Right.
But you did have an expenditure last night that was approved. Chief Adam Yates, in case I didn't introduce you to whom I'm speaking to, the chief of police of Quincy. And so if we could just start by talking about what that expenditure was last night and why the police department needs that.
Well, Mary, it's good to be back with you.
Thank you.
Probably one of the least exciting expenditures that we have. Literally, I think it's $8,900-ish, but it's just a licensing and a maintenance agreement for what we call Mobile Cop. So it's the program that we use on the laptops in the squad cars that allow us to receive our dispatch tickets, run driver's license information, run registration information, communicate back and forth with each other and the communications center. So it's just basically the program that we use to facilitate everything that we do while we're working the street. So
yeah.
It's just an annual maintenance in licensing agreement that we have to pay.
So it's just kind of one of those mundane things, but without it, you know,
right.
The technology in policing has become so great. Now, you know, you get behind me, you can pull up my license plate, you know, if I have warrants,
mm-hmm.
if my license is expired, if I'm driving on a revoked license, you know, everything about a person. And that really is very helpful for police officers because they need to know who they're dealing with. When you pull somebody over for, you know, rolling through a four-way stop, that's, you know, probably not a wanted criminal. That's a pretty minor thing. However, if it is a wanted criminal that you come up to, it's not going to be some little old lady's like, I'm sorry, officer.
Right.
It could be somebody that pulls a gun on you.
Yeah.
So more knowledge is better.
It's definitely an officer safety tool. It gives us that additional information. What it also does is, just as an example, police can legally run any license plate on any car at any time for no reason or any reason. So what we do is, it's a good way for us to check for stolen vehicles. So you run a plate. Plate comes back, it's valid, it's on the car that it's supposed to be on or appears to be, then there's no issue. In the past, we would have to do all of that over the radio. So we're tying up radio traffic when officers are getting out with folks, or maybe they're on a disturbance call and they need help, things like that. So this is a behind-the-scenes way for us to collect that information, check cars, make sure they're not wanted or stolen for any reason. And like you said, gives us information on who we're actually contacting. So we just know if it's someone that does have some type of criminal history or a warrant or some type of safety alert.
But one of the pet peeves of mine, and correct me because my perception is probably wrong, you're driving around with a laptop up and looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was driving around with my laptop up and looking at it, you would pull me over for distracted driving.
Well, we could. There's a special caveat in the law that allows public safety and law enforcement to have these devices in their cars, just like we're allowed to drive faster than the speed limit in certain circumstances and things like that.
Right.
Now, we discourage officers from engaging in, like, we don't want them driving around and writing a police report on their laptop.
Right.
We have
they shouldn't be watching Minecraft.
Correct. Yes, or YouTube or whatever. But there are certain things in information that comes across that laptop as they're driving that, yes, is, you know, I mean, potentially distracting, and we try to be as careful as we possibly can, but when we're responding to calls, there's information. So to the flip side of that, then we also have information that our dispatch center understands that if it's an active call, crime in progress, and the officer's on the way, they have to give that information over the radio. That way, the officer isn't distracted by the laptop or is minimally distracted by the laptop and is able to get that information, you know, if the suspect has fled, what the suspect's description might be, different things like that. So we try to minimize that as much as we can.
Well, one of the technologies that we can talk briefly about, because we've touched on it in the past, is this Flock camera system.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up, somebody in Macomb recently was accused of kidnapping a child, and they were able to follow this perpetrator basically all the way up to Chicago and find the exact home where this person was, and they were able to retrieve the child. And of course, charges, you know, it's the case has not been adjudicated yet, but this is probably pretty amazing how you are able to, like, you know, if you wanted to, you could find out everywhere I've been, what I, you know, kind of what I've been doing. You don't know what I'm doing at the Walmart, but you certainly know if I went there. Mm-hmm. And so how much of a game changer is this? Because this was an investment. I remember there were some people like, that's awfully expensive.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a game changer has this been? Is it pulling its weight? Is it paying for itself?
I think, you know, exponentially. We've had a number of cases that we've utilized, you know, both our local network of cameras and cameras that are on the Flock system in other states to solve crimes that have occurred here in Quincy. And, you know, just a couple of examples. There was a very similar kind of custody child kidnapping issue that we were able to track the license plate up to, I believe, a city in Wisconsin. And we were able to contact local law enforcement there. They tracked the car down and were able to get the kids back to where they needed to be. We also had a situation where we had an individual that was committing crimes in nursing home settings and dressing up as a nurse, going in, stealing IDs, stealing credit cards, things like that. And our detective that worked on that case spent just an inordinate amount of time looking at LPR data, was able to ultimately figure out what that the car was in Quincy and it had a fake license plate on it, but then determined what the actual license plate was by a camera down in Texas, and we're able to start linking that to a number of these incidents that were happening over a number of states. So the information that we're able to glean, while in some elements is limited because we only have 30 days worth of data to go back and look at, it can be, I mean, a tremendous source of evidence for criminal investigations that we're working on.
Okay. My guest today is Chief Adam Yates, and we're talking about the Quincy Police Department. You probably came today prepared to talk about something. Is there anything particularly on your mind?
Broadway.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank you. I was going to ask you that. I thought, no, let Adam have a topic. So our great minds think a lot.
Yes.
We are experiencing trouble. Now, last night, Jack Holtschlag, who knows a lot about the construction mm-hmm. industry, his first question was, is IDOT approving these barricades? Because his opinion was they weren't adequate enough.
Mm-hmm.
And is the signage adequate enough? And this is a two-year problem. This is not like, oh, this is going to go away next week. The Quincy Police Department was actually called by Lavender Construction, I think, to protect the lives of the construction workers because people are not slowing down. They're ignoring the barricades. Talk a little bit about what's happening and what the average motorist should be doing when we're in this, because this Broadway reconstruction is not going to go away.
Right.
It's a two-year problem. And it's a two-year problem for the Quincy Police Department.
Yeah, this particular project that just started this week is a four-month project. And, you know, I guess I'll start off by saying we see issues with these types of construction projects, especially when they initially start, because when folks are driving between 18th and 12th on Broadway, everything is new. These barricades are up. People aren't, you know... You can put up as much signage and as many barricades as you want, and I've been doing this for more than 25 years. People are going to be confused. They may just misinterpret something. There are always going to be issues. The fact that it's so long and it's so intrusive into what Broadway is normally used for, you know, we are having people that are making it through barricades that maybe they shouldn't. And I understand that the businesses on Broadway, especially on the north side of the street, want people to be able to continue to go to their business. But there's a lot of kind of entry points and exit points that are just adding to the confusion of what people should be doing and where they should be going. We were just talking this morning. As a matter of fact, I think we have an officer out there right now that's monitoring the speed. And we're just checking to see if there are weak points in the overall setup that we could improve in order to make it more clear for people. But we are going to have issues. I use the stop signs at 12 or at 24th and Monroe as an example. We put those up when we closed Harrison Street. I mean, they're put up. They're stop signs. People aren't used to the stop signs being there, so they were running the stop signs for the first week because it was just something new that they weren't used to and they weren't paying attention to. So we're going to have these issues, but we're going to go out and try to see if we can't minimize as much as we can the issues that are going on. My recommendation to everyone is if you can avoid driving on Broadway from 12th Street to 18th Street, you should do that, especially if you're going westbound. The eastbound still has two lanes. It seems to be moving like it should. The problem is when people are going east and then they want to turn left, either into a business like McDonald's, for example. People are stopping and then traffic is backing all the way up to 9th and Broadway because one person is trying to get into McDonald's and the cars that are coming westbound are backed up because of the traffic light at 12th Street. So if you can just avoid Broadway from 12th to 18th for the next 4 months, that really is, I hate to say that, but that really is probably the best thing you could do.
And in an effort to salvage the McDonald's business, my original employer when I was a child. You can always get in off of 13th Street,
yes,
or 14th Street and come around one block north, you know, and enter that way.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to be able to go through the drive-thru that way, but you're going to be able to get into McDonald's, and you might just have to get out of your car and go inside and talk to a human being.
Right.
It would be something. These are problems, I call them unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want Broadway to be repaved. Obviously, we want the water service under there to have the lead removed. We want all of these improvements. We need these improvements. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm the owner of McDonald's, you know, at 13th and Broadway, I can't be happy right now.
Right.
I mean, this has got to be awful. And there are times when that drive-thru will back up even when all four lanes are going.
Right.
So, you know, this is going to continue to be a problem. And I would say that if you really want to patronize that business, sit down and develop a game plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's not impossible that, you know, they could, even if you ask them, alter the drive-thru so it came in off of 14th Street or something,
yeah,
you know. But this is a quasi-permanent thing. It'll come to an end and there'll be a brief pause and then they'll start up somewhere
right
else. But these are the kind of things that can really cause the police department a lot of grief. Because making a left turn is becoming almost impossible in some places.
And I think that as the construction starts to ramp up, and I hate to say this, it sounds counter to what we're looking for, but as there's more equipment and as there's more workers and as the streets are dug up more, it will become more obvious. But when you get on 18th Street and pull onto Broadway, there's just lanes that are just closed on the north side of the street that they don't seem like they should be closed because there's no one there working. There's no equipment there. They're just kind of blocked off with big barrels. And so you can understand why people are getting confused. So I think the more that things start to ramp up, the less confusing it will be. But we're going to continue to have issues, like you said, for the next several years, because there's always going to be construction like this that's taking place on Broadway.
My guest today is Chief Adam Yates. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation about your public safety. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Chief of Police is here. Anything else you want to bring up today? Because how does the budget look as far as the police department goes? I mean, you're never going to be completely satisfied because you're never going to have everything you want, but you have to have everything you can have within the reason of the taxpayers. Are you happy with the budget that's proposed that the city council gave first reading to?
I am. We had our particular portion of the budget hearings last week, and you know, there were some good questions by the members of the council. I think that we've presented a budget that is realistic in terms of personnel. We maintain full staffing at 73 officers budgeted. You know, all our staffing for the rest of the police department is status quo. We do have in there $70,000 to pay for a continuation of our Flock safety camera contract. So that's good. We're looking forward to continuing to be able to use those. There's a couple projects we had to just kind of do away with because they were wants more than needs. There is a particular laptop computer upgrade that we're hoping to do because we've been having some technology issues with the computers in the cars. That's still in the budget. That's something that we're hoping to use general fund money and some special fund money that we have in order to get this project complete. So I think it's a fair budget. I think that we, you know, made some concessions when we met with the mayor and city administration to, you know, this is what we're looking to do. And ultimately, you know, I think we'll be good this next fiscal year getting the things that we need, a couple of the things that we want to make us more efficient and effective and maintain our budget as far as staffing goes.
Real quick, 1 minute. The police are kind of a quasi-military organization. So when we get a new president, we get a new commander-in-chief, and everybody who's already in the military has to, you know, be allegiant to the new commander-in-chief. Do you see a smooth transition between Trope and Moore, or do you see any problems for the police department because of a new administration?
I don't see any problems. You know, I think that, you know, like I said, a different administration may come in with a different vision or a different strategy on how to deal with things. You know, I always looked at it as my position to work with whoever the mayor is to, you know, explain what we do, let them know what our capabilities are, and see what they're looking to accomplish, you know, with our particular department. And for us, it's kind of important because it has to be doable. It also has to be legal. And so, you know, we have a lot of really good conversations. I don't see there being any issues when Mayor-elect Moore takes office the first part of May.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Mary.
Appreciate it. And again, you know, be careful, folks, on Broadway. Be careful everywhere. These people want to go home to their families at night, too.